There's no way I should be on this earth.
No.
And I've been searching for that reason since the day of the accident. What is the reason that I am still here? When I came to, I knew I was alive, okay. But it was weird because I'm like, I thought to myself, I'm alive. I felt like it was all my fault at that time. And so I really was really harboring a lot of that blame. And so I just wanted, I wanted people to know that he's not enjoying this.
That is, is the most incredible thing I can say I've ever heard from someone surviving. And you're here. And I thank God you are. Welcome in to another edition of the Husky Bulletin Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you are tuning in on the premiere, it is Sunday. Yes, already March 24th, 2024. Today's guest is a very special guest, as they always are, for Season 2, Episode 2, Eric Hancock. He is the Owatonna Athletics Sound and Graphics Specialist. And he has an amazing story. And I want to dedicate as much of this episode to Eric's incredible comeback story. You do not want to miss this. So I'm going to jump right into it and let you guys know that this podcast is being made possible by the following sponsors. These are our investors. These are our partners right here on The Fan Owatonna and the Husky Bulletin Podcast. Wayne Nord Wetmore, Wealth Management of Ameriprise. Swing Lab Performance Golf, Ron's Repair, Federated Insurance, The Zappa Agency, Car Time of Owatonna, Premier Banks of Owatonna, Matthew Petzinger Agency of Waseca, Pizza Ranch, Hometown Credit Union, R&K Electric, and Rockin' MNDJ. Wow, what a great story. What a great guest we have coming up. Tune in, Eric Hancock. If you don't know who he is, once again, he is the guy who is always around. He is at courtside, basketball games, running the sound, running the video board for Owatonna boys and girls basketball. In the fall, he is up there in the press box running the video board, the pregame sound, the in-game sound. That is all Eric Hancock. And then coming up this spring, he'll be working at boys and girls lacrosse games. In many ways, he kind of came out of nowhere into the athletics community here in Owatonna. Why is that? You're about to find out what is an incredible story. Eric Hancock, right here on the Husky Bulletin Podcast. Enjoy. When it comes to your financial security, it's important to trust your financial advisor. That's what sets Steve Zappa apart. Operating out of his office in downtown Owatonna for more than 3 decades, Steve is a part of this community and takes a personal approach to managing your investments, understanding the difference between the return of your money, not just on your money. Reach out to the Zappa Agency today by calling 451-9343 and start securing your financial future. Steve Zappa, your personal financial advocate for 32 years. Steve M. Zappa, representing American National Property and Casualty Company, Springfield, Missouri, and affiliates. Terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply.
Ameriprise Advisors can work with you to provide personalized goal-based advice based on your short and long-term goals. Plus, you can track your investments and financial solutions with our digital tools and regular meetings. Call Wayne Nord Wetmore, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, today at 507-444-0901. Office is located at 1850 Austin Road, Suite 104, Owatonna, Minnesota. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. IPC.
Ron's Repair. We care. Locally owned, family run. All makes and models will get the job done. Trustworthy, award-winning service. We won't sell you what you don't need. And that's a promise. Ron's Repair. Always fast and fair. Ron's Repair.
Hello, This is Thomas Bottoma, loan officer at Premier Bank Minnesota. Are you a first-time home buyer looking to build or refinance? Premier Bank has you covered. Premier Bank can provide the right loan for your family's unique needs. Take advantage of easy online calculators and online application, plus a full-service loan department just for you. Contact Thomas Bottoma today to get started. Visit Premier Bank at premierbank.com. Minnesota-owned, Minnesota-operated, equal housing lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 403214.
With Buffet Your Way, you can order any pizza you want and we'll bake it and make sure you get the first slice. And with all our crust, sauces, and toppings, we can make you 14,839,552 different pizzas. Just not, you know, all at the same time.
Pizza Ranch, everyone's favorite buffet.
Lucas here at the Owatonna Pizza Ranch. Come on down to the Pizza Ranch Buffet any time of day between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day of the week to enjoy Buffet Your Way at Pizza Ranch.
Since the turn of the century, Federated Mutual Insurance Company and many of our employees have called Owatonna home. We work hand in hand with our neighbors through giving, volunteering, and focusing on community initiatives. We invest in this community because we love to see opportunities and advancements, such as the new high school and the downtown developments. We enjoy seeing the citizens of our great community continue to grow and thrive. And above all, we are proud to be part of Owatonna's rich history and all that Owatonna has to offer.
Car Time of Owatonna is your trusted hometown used car dealership. At Car Time, we believe in taking the hassle out of your car buying experience. With over 22 years of serving our local community, we know what it takes to find you the right vehicle at the right price. Our commitment to quality doesn't end with the sale. Our full-service facility ensures that your car remains in top-notch condition, keeping you on the road with peace of mind. At Car Time, we care about your time. Visit cartimeofowatonna.com or call 507-446-9218.
Welcome back to the Husky Bulletin Podcast. As you probably heard during the introduction, I am here with Eric Hancock, not Herbie, Eric Hancock.
You always do
of,
that.
I know, I love it. I'm going to keep doing it too because you're going to be around here a lot longer. You're one of us now. Sorry, pulled you in.
So he says.
Rockin' MNDJ. Let's start there. Eric.
All right.
By the way, no, let's not start there. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were just talking, but we should have the mics hot. But,
yeah.
You know, it, honestly, to me, it's like an honor to be on here with the other, seeing those other people you've had on here.
Except for Weiss.
No way I can't say that. No.
I can say that. Yeah. No, we love Weiss. Weiss is
the man.
He is the man. And quite honestly, one of the guys that got you back out there. And we might get to that. Part of what this whole venture into the Husky Bulletin podcast is about is getting to know athletes, figureheads, luminaries, right, as people.
Well, let's say why, then, I guess, yeah. Where, you know, all those other ones that are on there are obvious.
Yes.
They're coaches, they're the head coaches, or they're the assistant coaches and of these different things that you've had on these other interviews. Well, why, where am I? Where do I fit in? Well, I add a lot of the games. Yeah. I'm that guy you see there, you know.
You're the guy who, quite honestly, you came out of nowhere in 2018-ish. I didn't know who you were.
Yeah,
a lot of people didn't.
A little bit.
I mean, you had a whole past of athletic background, coaching, playing when you were in high school. You've been involved in radio. You taught me about radio stuff just yesterday, learning from you. And there's a whole reason why you weren't around and then you were around. And then now you are ubiquitous. You're everywhere. You're going to be doing lacrosse. You're part of the football. I want to say you're part of the program, right?
I am part of the program, too.
You are part
of
the program. You're absolutely part of the program. You're at every single game. You are taking care of some of the things that people take for granted. And that same thing goes for basketball. Now, I'd love for you to just kind of take over from there as what do you do in the fall?
Sure.
I know it's a lot, and then that kind of parlays into the winter, but what do you do for the Owatonna football program at the stadium game nights?
Well, for Owatonna football, a couple of things. I serve a couple of roles, really. First role of football for me is I'm the equipment manager. Doesn't encompass, it's gotten to be a lot less, and I'll say why here. I'll just real quickly say my other role is also I am the video board operator, and I do all the, and do the audio, the music as well. I'm not currently the official announcer, but I do the rest of everything else as far as you hear music and mm-hmm. anything you see on the video board. I take care of all that. So there's those two roles that I play. Because the video board role has grown so much, it's only the first year with it being the new school, and we didn't have a video board at the old school. They didn't know how much that was going to encompass. And so now my role as equipment manager has shrunk down to where, honestly, I'm kind of more of a glorified laundry guy now. It's kind of fun. I mean, it's something to do. And, you know, it gives me, it actually brings me back, gives me time to sit on the computer and take care of some stuff that I don't normally, because I'm a guy that's hard to kind of, I'm not the speediest moving around, so I keep try to keep moving all the time. So I can be a little difficult to nail down, especially when it comes to doing emails and things like that. So I try to catch that up on a lot of that stuff while I'm doing laundry.
Yeah. Well, and so the bulk of what you do and kind of what you're known for now is you are the sound and video guy. It's super cool. It's kind of,
yeah,
you get to be there and kind of soak it all in from vantage point that not a lot of people get. But you're working the whole time in a way. Yeah.
On a Friday. Okay. So a Friday for me, they're game days. Fridays.
Exactly.
What's really cool is that I'm such a part of the program. And because, you know, when you're there on a Friday night, what I do, you're going to see and hear. And I can't make the mistakes, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that I have to think about ahead of time. And it starts really, okay, with my song list. During the morning, I'm prepping out my song list. You wouldn't think, you know, like he's doing it on the last day. Well, I've done it all week long on a football week and on a home week. I'm prepping all week long, getting my music in my head ready. Beyond that, during the day, I'm just trying to keep myself calm a little bit because I'm such a wound up person.
Same.
And and I'm ready to rock for the game. Then it's so long before we get to the stadium, you know. So then after that, usually midday, I head up to the stadium for the first time and I will enter in the team information and that sort of thing. Do the background stuff on the video board. And that includes the scoreboard operating so that when the scoreboard operators come in, all they got to operate is the scoreboard. They don't have to enter anything and get the game set up. All that information's in there. And then I will put in some things into the scoreboard during that time, like, you know, the welcome to whoever we're playing, welcome to their fans and thank you for coming, that sort of a thing with their picture on it. There's just some mid-game stuff that I change, maybe put in some different pictures of video from the week before on kind of a roll. And then I'm gone for a little bit again. And then I'm back usually about 2 or 3 hours before game time. Probably three. And then I'm up to, that's mainly for music. Most of the video board stuff's already up and ready to go. But then I'm getting the music in. And then when the teams start to warm up, which is way earlier than anybody watches, it's just, I think five, usually it's like 5:10, they start taking the field for warm up. I'm playing music, you know.
That's awesome because it's one of those things you go to a stadium. And by the way, I'm not trying to call out any other, North Star District. Places.
Star,
yeah, whatever it
Big
is.
Big Red, South, East,
West, yeah. Who knows? The district teams.
Yeah.
You go to some of their stadiums, and as a dad, now maybe it's just me being the dad, some of the music you hear there, I don't care if the kids like it. First of all, do a radio edit version, one.
Yeah.
Second of all, why play that? It's disgusting. Yeah. It's gross. You, by the way, have changed the culture of that, and I don't know who else had a hand in this. But you play the best freaking music.
Oh, I appreciate that. I have a really difficult time with the music end. Partially because we have such an amazing sound system.
Yeah.
Inside and out at the new Owatonna High School, which is where you hear me playing. That's what we're talking about. And I just that sound system makes every word available for everyone to hear.
Yep.
And because of that, I have to literally go through and I play them some of the songs. Even reading the words and playing them, I will play them and listen to them all week long, maybe 50 times or more a song, only to catch, you know, on the 50th time going, he said that? And I didn't even catch that in any other version or anything. And yeah, so that makes it really hard to weed that out. So typically I try to, if it's one of those songs, then it's probably a song that's made it pretty close for me, you know, as far as through weeding them out. Because like you said, there's so many that right off the bat, the third word in, I'm like, nope. And I don't
goodbye.
Even. Yep. Just I literally, it's three words. If you got me that fast going, nope, you're not even going to make that.
How many sound people would do that at any other program? Probably none.
I don't think they really do
no.
for the most part. I think because it's usually just somebody playing music off an iPad or an iPod is from what I hear. We usually hear, you know, it's
one of those things that every single layer of Owatonna football separates itself as an entity from 99% of the teams in the state.
Yeah, honestly, they knew going in a little bit with some of the planning that they had it in their back pocket that I was, you know, a DJ and was willing to learn the video board and could be the hype guy, do that together. So we had been kind of talking, and what's weird is it's great for all the sports because it's got me more involved now in, of course, basketball. It's got me more, yep. You know, all these other sports. I do lacrosse and all that. But the football, like you said, it was the football program that started it all. It was the football program that that knew that I have the ability, you know, outside of any kind of football or sports stuff to do this end of it, to do music and to do, you know, the voice stuff. They knew it. And it was just really a matter of time. It was funny. We would be at games, away games. And it's the only time during the game, as you know, when you can talk to the staff, really, and they're accessible, is at pregame when the team has gone back in for that final time before they're going to come out. Head coaches, stuff, don't go back in. They usually hang on the field. That's when you get to do your interviews, that kind of a thing. And everybody kind of is talking because we've already done all that prep work for the week. Has like, whew, here we are. It's done. They're in the locker room that last time. When they come out now, it's going to be game time.
Yeah, it's game time.
So we do this. There's this goofing around time that kind of happens in between there. And we'll be sitting there talking. There'd be music playing, whatever. And that's when the guys, you hear what they're playing. You better play better than, you know, you're getting that all the time. And I used to get to hear that stuff all the time. You better play this song. You better play that song. It was so funny. The staff would always, I must have had 1,000 requests, you know, last season, because they knew that I'd be doing it this season. Because we didn't, last season, we just basically played music from an iPod whenever, you know, that was all that and every season prior. But yeah, no, I barely stick to a script with it. I just have a grouping of music that I play from, and I do it by feel.
Yeah,
you know, and it's all just based on what's the game feel like.
That's why they hire you though.
Yeah,
because of
that was
the,
it. Yeah,
because you have the feel. You do have a sports background. You played.
Yeah,
for people who don't know, you know,
yeah, we made it to the
broad
NFL.
NFL combine. Yeah. Just got cut at the last minute. And those knees. I got to be the knees, right?
Yeah, the knees, yeah.
No, but you played all the way through high school. I
played football.
Sophomore,
football.
Yeah.
No, all the way through.
All the way through, okay.
Yeah, I was on the team. I didn't play, but I was on the team.
Hey,
yeah.
I was on the baseball team, too, yeah. Right? I mean,
so
I was.
Like you said,
yeah.
People say, I always say that now as I got older, when they used to say, I played. I played.
Yeah.
But, you know, mostly in practice.
Junior varsity all-star.
Yeah, right.
All the way through. That's what I call myself. But, hey, you played football, so you have the feel for sports. You coached basketball at St. Mary's, so you know basketball. Basketball is kind of one of your jams.
Basketball was my whole life for all the way till high school.
I can tell you're about 6'7"-ish.
Yeah, right. I can jump out of the building. I was thinking about that last night, though. Even as old and as injured as I am, I can still jump.
Because
can you touch a basketball, the net?
Oh, yeah.
You can? How far up the net can you put your hand in it, is what I always say.
I used to be able to grab onto the rim.
You could, yeah, I could.
I could dunk a tennis ball. Never could dunk a regular ball.
I'm 48 years old now, so how far up today, if we went to the gym right now, how far up can you get?
So you know where the net comes down and it's a smaller parts? I could get up.
You can get in the loops, call it?
Yeah.
You get your finger in the loops?
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I can get up there too. And I can get up pretty close to that now, if not there, which I think for 48 is
pretty good.
And as injured as I am, is pretty good.
Same.
Now, if you'd have seen me prior to that, that was a huge difference. And like you're saying right now, people can see I'm barely 5'9". I think
you and I are about the same height.
Yeah, I like to brag that I'm all of 5'9", but
I put myself at, you know, I think technically I'm like 5'8¾", but that quarter inch.
Yeah, I just don't let anybody actually measure.
No, so, never.
Right.
Unless I have shoes on.
That was in my measurement goes off my stats in senior year, you know. I'm 183 pounds and 5'9".
Yeah, I was 170 at one point.
Yeah.
I was there. All right, this is the Husky Bulletin Podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Eric Hancock, rockin' MNDJ, right here, Husky Bulletin Podcast.
When you envision your dream home, it shouldn't seem like a distant reality. Whether it's new construction, a move-in ready townhome, fixer-upper, or something unique to you, purchasing your dream home is possible with Hometown Credit Union. Our team of local mortgage experts can assist every step of the way with quick processing and personalized service. Save your dreaming for bedtime and make your dream home a reality now with Hometown. Learn more and get pre-approved online at hometowncu.coop. Equal housing lender.
At American Family Insurance, your small business is a big deal to us. You've worked hard to achieve your goals and face challenges like rising inflation and staffing shortages. I know, because as an American Family agent and business owner right here in your community, I've faced them too. As you continue to build your dream, know that I'm here to help. I've built my business with a vision of helping you protect yours. Contact Matthew Petzinger, agent at Matthew R. Petzinger Agency, LLC, at 101 State Street, South in Waseca, or call 507-835-2770 today. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating companies, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Legacy, leaving a lasting impact. This is exactly what our family-owned company strives for. Over the last 50 years, R&K Electric has served residential, commercial, and industrial customers in Owatonna and beyond, while honoring the core values that made us a trusted name in electricity in southern Minnesota. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism are what R&K continues to bring to our customers today. Learn more and reach out for a quote at rkelectricmn.com. R&K Electric, power to the people.
Since the turn of the century, Federated Mutual Insurance Company and many of our employees have called Owatonna home. We work hand in hand with our neighbors through giving, volunteering, and focusing on community initiatives. We invest in this community because we love to see opportunities and advancements, such as the new high school and the downtown developments. We enjoy seeing the citizens of our great community continue to grow and thrive. And above all, we are proud to be part of Owatonna's rich history and all that Owatonna has to offer.
Car Time of Owatonna is your trusted hometown used car dealership. At Car Time, we believe in taking the hassle out of your car buying experience. With over 22 years of serving our local community, we know what it takes to find you the right vehicle at the right price. Our commitment to quality doesn't end with the sale. Our full service facility ensures that your car remains in top-notch condition, keeping you on the road with peace of mind. At Car Time, we care about your time. Visit cartimeofowatonna.com or call 507-446-9218.
Since the turn of the century, Federated Mutual Insurance Company and many of our employees have called Owatonna home. We work hand in hand with our neighbors through giving, volunteering, and focusing on community initiatives. We invest in this community because we love to see opportunities and advancements, such as the new high school and the downtown developments. We enjoy seeing the citizens of our great community continue to grow and thrive. And above all, we are proud to be part of Owatonna's rich history and all that Owatonna has to offer.
With Buffet Your Way, you can order any pizza you want and we'll bake it and make sure you get the first slice. And with all our crusts, sauces, and toppings, we can make you 14,839,552 different pizzas. Just not, you know, all at the same time.
Pizza Ranch, everyone's favorite buffet.
Lucas here at the Owatonna Pizza Ranch. Come on down to the Pizza Ranch buffet any time of day between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day of the week to enjoy Buffet Your Way at Pizza Ranch.
Hello, this is Thomas Bottoma, loan officer at Premier Bank Minnesota. Are you a first-time home buyer looking to build or refinance? Premier Bank has you covered. Premier Bank can provide the right loan for your family's unique needs. Take advantage of easy online calculators and online application, plus a full-service loan department just for you. Contact Thomas Bottoma today to get started. Visit Premier Bank at premierbank.com. Minnesota-owned, Minnesota-operated, equal housing lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 403214.
Runs repairs, we care. Locally owned, family run. All makes and models will get the job done. Trustworthy, award-winning service. We won't sell you what you don't need, and that's a promise. Runs repair, always fast and fair. Runs repairs, we care.
Ameriprise Advisors can work with you to provide personalized goal-based advice based on your short and long-term goals. Plus, you can track your investments and financial solutions with our digital tools and regular meetings. Call Wayne Nord Wetmore, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, today at 507-444-0901. Office is located at 1850 Austin Road, Suite 104, Owatonna, Minnesota.
It's important to trust your financial advisor.
Owatonna, Minnesota. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
For more than 3 decades, Steve is a part of this community and takes a personal approach to managing your investments, understanding the difference between the return of your money, not just on your money. Reach out to the Zappa Agency today by calling 451-9343 and start securing your financial future. Steve Zappa, your personal financial advocate for 32 years. Steve M. Zappa, representing American National Property and Casualty Company, Springfield, Missouri, and affiliates. Terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply.
Welcome back to the Husky Bulletin Podcast. This is Eric Hancock. This is a really fun conversation. I didn't even want to cut that off there because we're just going to get into your life, right, Eric? I think a lot of people, myself included, who had been around the football team since 2012, you weren't there.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And then, I was there, but at the game.
Yeah. At the game, right. And there was a point in your life where maybe you didn't know if that was going to be able to happen or why people didn't see you at the games. And you said, hey.
Or when they did with the cane or Walker and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
You said this is okay to talk about, so
yeah,
I will.
It's cool.
Because I think this is, quite honestly, part of how much I respect you as a person because of how far you've come. But this is your story, and I will allow you to take it anywhere you want as to, we'll just call it the accident.
Sure. That's what kind of what I go by. Yeah. In our household, that's what it's known by, too, is the accident.
The accident.
You know, and it's hard to not... We're 6 months from when the time of the year type thing of when it basically from when it happened. So it's like I'm if I seem like, and we're 10 years away from when it happens. Yep. So if I seem a little bit like, well, you know, it's because I've had that long to process this and to go through it. And I've told the story publicly now. I mean, it was many years before I could hardly even talk about it, let alone answer questions or publicly, you know. Now I have no problem with it. It's been,
and I'm glad because
people need to hear it. Really.
People do need to hear it. You almost died.
Yeah.
Eric, you should have been dead.
And I was supposed to.
You're supposed to be dead. In fact, someone lost their life right in front of you.
Yep.
What happened?
I was electrocuted underwater. We were working on our dock at a family cabin, and there was a freak accident. I guess don't have to divulge into everything. The dock moved. It hit a power line. The power line didn't cut power because it saw power. It saw the water as a load. So it kept shocking for a distance in the water. Of course, it didn't shock an entire lake, you know, but it shocked as far out as the water would carry the power. And it moved me underwater somehow or another. I moved around 25 feet-ish under the water, under a dock, even without touching it somehow, and made it like over onto the other side of it and on shore kind of thing. But yeah, I was being electrocuted the entire time too, like nonstop. And they estimated it was around 45 seconds to a minute.
Which has to be the longest you could possibly go, or anyone has ever gone, without dying.
To my knowledge, there's been a lot of, after it happened, of course, because it's such, I mean, how many people do you know that were, how many people do you know that have been electrocuted underwater, first of all?
None.
Most people can say none.
Yeah.
And then secondly, how many have survived it? And I know of none other than myself either. There are people who have taken a low power for a very, just they've touched the water and survived kind of thing. But no one has ever survived a high power extended. There are a lot of websites you can go to that will investigate and talk about it. Mine is the only one where I've survived because it was so long that the power was on me. And granted, it probably got less the further I got away from it. I can't say I felt it to be much less, but it got less a little bit. The initial voltage where it hit the water was less than a foot from where I was standing. So yeah, I mean, I took the full voltage at least for seconds anyway, you know. And of course I feel it, the injuries from it to this day, you know, internally from being electrocuted. Nothing else, the water, nothing, didn't do anything to me. It was just all the power. The one thing that went, you know, and I'll talk about more, but my main injury, my biggest injury, of course, I've got all muscle and nerve damage, but the way you'll know that how much power I took was it broke my back in three places. And it was just the squeezing of my spine reacting to the power of the electricity that began to crush my spine from the middle outward. And so the middle vertebrae crushed a straight line through it. And then the next two on either side were starting to crush the same way. And they assumed that that's probably what would have kind of paralyzed and like killed me after a while, was that my spine would have just been, all the nerves and everything would have quit.
So in your mind, how are you still here?
I don't know.
Not how, but how, and not why, but how? How is it that, maybe why is part of it?
I don't
why
know.
Why are you still? How are you
I don't
still?
Know. They,
have you had any medical person say, this is why you were able to survive? Because
it's
miracle. Then this is a miracle then.
None of them say miracle. I don't know that word gets thrown around like people think, but maybe I'm sure people have said it to me that it is.
To me, I can't think of possibly any other reason.
Here's the crazy part. When you say that you can't think, I can't either. And I've been searching for that reason since the day of the accident. What is the reason that I am still here? So far, it hasn't been for, I shouldn't say that. There's probably been a dozen small reasons that I'm still here. You know,
but I'm just thinking scientifically.
Oh, scientifically too.
Yeah, I can tell
there's
you,
no reason scientifically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It shouldn't have.
Yeah.
There's no way I should be on this earth.
No
one should. When they came, I'm not exactly sure because I wasn't there, and I do know how electricity works, and I'm pretty good with all that stuff. I don't know how they measured it, but somehow they were able to measure the power at the dock there, and they measured it to be over 10 amps at the water, and it was 122 volts, and so a tenth of an amp is what it takes to kill a human being. And right where I was standing is where they measured it, and they measured it at 10 amps. So I had to have taken somewhere close to, even the electrician said, well, I don't know how he couldn't have taken a minimum of at least half of that, you know, in one shot.
And that's the whole science part of it. I can't either.
I still never wrap my head around that because the numbers are just so unfathomable to me that how I took it and knowing where, and some of the people even questioned if I was standing where I said I was. And I was like, of course I was. And my mom was there to witness, was the only other person who survived and then my niece, but she was four. She's the reason I'm alive. But my mom witnessed it from way further out. She was floating on a, on an inner tube or something,
sure,
a ways out in the water, and saw everything happen. And so she knew where I was standing even better than I did, and disappeared from and all that. So yeah, it kept me under the water, is, you know, the entire time is what was crazy about it. And I was conscious through the entire thing. That's what's even crazier. I know every second of it. My recollection of it might be a little different than what actually was happening, because
sure,
I was underwater, you know, and my eyes were held shut. Everything, my body was, everything was held closed in a closed position. My fingers were locked. My hands were locked in fists. I was in the fetal position, you know, locked up in like a baby like that. My face, my mouth, everything. My nose felt locked shut. My eyes were closed, but I was fully conscious. I knew instantly I was being electrocuted, and I was pretty sure within seconds I was going to die.
So you, Eric, I and you've told me this before.
Yeah.
I know this already, and I'm still just so... in front of me can say you knew where you were going to die.
Yeah. I saw that light, yep, that people talk about on the TV shows. And I'm not just saying that I saw a light. I did start to see a light that I do tell people. I used to really fear death. I don't want to die
right
now. I'm not afraid like I was, because the one thing is that it was so peaceful. I got to the most peaceful place I ever felt. It was, I tell you, you can't describe the softness of, you, it felt like I was just melting away. I saw this light. There was a color I can't, to this day, I've never seen it again. I can't describe it. It was a bright white, yellowish. It was the most peaceful color you could imagine in your mind. That's what color I saw. And that's why I think sometimes you see religious drawings and things by people who have had these experiences, and you think they're crazy or whatever, and they might be, but they draw these crazy pictures with these images and stuff. I think that's what they saw, some of that stuff, you know, because there is, it's got to be something. I don't know if it's in your mind or what you go through, but there's something that happens, and it's very peaceful, and it's, the scariness comes out of it. You do start to see flashback of some life things, and I started right away, I started having these memories kind of start weirdly flooding in. And it, you know, it's happening because it's a time when it shouldn't be thinking about a memory of when my daughter was born right now, you know, while I'm being electrocuted, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
That is the most incredible thing I can say I've ever heard from someone surviving, and you're here, and I thank God you are, for so many different reasons.
Yeah, it was
and
a fight.
You found your purpose, though. You're starting to find it. Eric, you're starting to find it.
Working on it.
Yeah. And I think it's for you, you know, you found and you're still working on it. This is not, Eric is now, you know, he's in a great place, but the beauty that you can take from this is that life is so fragile.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. For 100%.
And you, people say it, but you know it.
Yeah. My sister, her boyfriend at the time, he was the only other person in the water with me, and he passed away instantly from the same power I was feeling. And the reason we say instantly is you know, the whole ordeal was like 45 seconds, and he was already gone when I came. I shouldn't say come to, but when the power was shut off and I kind of came back to reality and my eyes opened up and that kind of thing, he was already, you know, floating in the water at that point. So it was pretty much an instant. It had to have been basically instant. Mm-hmm. And it made it even more fragile to me to see someone right next to me, and then to be so close myself, to know that that's all it takes is to do. And I was doing nothing. Our accident, when I say accident, and we were at a lake and we're on our dock, we were doing nothing sport related or dangerous or anything.
Right.
We were literally just moving the dock a few feet, or I mean the boat lift itself, just a couple of feet. And we just happened to have a whole bunch of things line up that, you know, weirdly, you know, the cable lined up with the roof, and the roof was metal, and there was a storm damage on the cable. So it actually had a fray in it. It hit right on that frayed wire. And then we were in water. So there was a lot of things at play that you would have never, when safety crossed your mind, that stuff wouldn't have been one of them. Now, a lot of people said to me, what about the outlet and stuff? Well, you got to remember that place and that cabin. My dad was, I was there. There are pictures of me as a little kid when they were building that boathouse. So I remember that outlet from the day I was, there were two outlets on that wall. One of them was a ground fault, one of them wasn't. And the light that electrocuted us was plugged into a non-ground fault outlet. I have no idea whether it was plugged in, so what it was plugged in. It's been plugged in. I don't know if I plugged the light in. I don't know if someone else did. That light's always plugged in my opinion. You know, it's one of them. You've had a family, you know, camp type thing. So it's one of those. It was like, just something you go through the motions of. We've moved the dock and we've moved the boat lift hundreds of times in my life. I didn't think anything of it. It was just another day. I pulled up some safety idea. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. But that, it was just the normal stuff. Get out of the way, those kind of things. It wasn't that we were going to be electrocuted. That never crossed my mind.
And how could it? Like you said, it's just lined up with that. And taking yourself back to that day, do you have a recollection? And it might be kind of, you remember the whole incident, but then after that, do you remember the aftermath of, oh my gosh, I'm here, I'm alive? What do you start remembering in the aftermath, the immediate aftermath of what you say, I guess, coming to?
I guess coming to, the immediate thing was, first off, I thought I was alive. I literally thought that because I knew
I was. Thought you were dead, you mean? Or you thought you were alive? Or did you know you were alive when you kind of came to?
When I came to, I knew I was alive, okay. But it was weird because I thought to myself, I'm alive. And I didn't like you'd think, I didn't like feel myself or anything like that. I mean, I could feel I was alive. You could tell when you're alive, yep. You know what I mean? Yep. I could tell I was alive and I literally said to myself, oh my God, I'm alive. I didn't think I was going to survive it, and here my eyes are open and I pretty much felt for the most part, initially I was feeling like when they say when you get your bell rung and you're kind of, I kind of was feeling like I just got my bell rung. But aside from that, I didn't really feel anything.
Sure.
It was so immediate and I was in so much, I think the shock too, immediately, I felt nothing really. But when I tried to stand up was the first indication something was wrong. My legs didn't work. And by didn't work, it wasn't that I was paralyzed. It was that the muscles had so much entropy to them. Through the electrocution that they weren't functioning at that time. So that's why I always had to say that my legs weren't working when I tell people. It was basically, I couldn't take any normal steps. I would just fall to my knees or fall over and I kept, but when I came to, my eyes were facing the lake and I saw that my sister's boyfriend was floating. And so my first reaction was actually, I need to get to him. Mm-hmm. So I jumped up, tried to jump up and tried to get to him. And I did eventually get out there and pulled him to shore and started CPR. Mm-hmm. And I did CPR until the first responders arrived. But I knew something wasn't at that point. It got real peaceful and calm. And I kind of got everybody out of there so that we could do CPR and get quieted down a little bit. And it was just too much, everybody trying to help.
Yeah.
And so, we're down on the lake shore. My wife and I told my wife, you've got to help me. I was the only one who knew CPR at the time too. And I said, you have to help me. I can't breathe and do the compressions at the same time. And she's like, okay. She says, well, I don't know how. And I said, I'll teach you. So I knelt down to do and started compressions immediately. And I was talking to her and then I told her I'd help her. And I showed her how to position the head and do everything. And I took the first breath and helped her with it. And then from there, she said, when? And I said, when I say now, you breathe. And so we did that together the whole time until the first responders came. But the whole time I kept saying something's wrong with me. If I pass out, just know that something's wrong with my back. I kept saying something's wrong with my back. That I felt like I was going to pass out the whole time. I don't know why. I think it was probably just the adrenaline was probably coming out of me a little bit at that point because it was calm.
Yeah. I mean, because your body has certain chemical ways they react to things.
And I've learned that. Yeah.
Chemicals wear off and then you become bang. Yep. This is reality. Do you remember the trip to the hospital? Anything like that?
A little bit. Yeah. Crazy enough, I do. Partly because it was such a wild experience. It wasn't a straight up, they wheeled me out of a house into an ambulance and then into a hospital. I was down on a lake shore. And if you've been at Northern Minnesota lakes, it's all of 60 to 80 yards from the lake shore uphill.
Yep.
Where the cars park at. And by that, I mean, you can't drive a car down to the lakeshore. So it was an ordeal just to get me up to the ambulance. I had an argument with the people. I didn't want to lay on a stretcher and go up the hill. It was too vertical for me to be. I just didn't feel right being strapped down. So they eventually put me into what they called a walking chair, which looked like a chariot. And made me feel a little better. I was strapped in, but I was seated. And it was like you were in this roll cage more or less. So I felt like if I fell, I was sitting in like a cage anyway. Yeah. So that felt a little better to me. It took me up in that. And then it was such a tight parking and there were so many first responders and things from where we're at that one of the ambulances slipped off the edge of the little bit and got stuck. And they had to take my mom out of that, put my mom into my ambulance with me, which they don't normally do. So like, we were moving around in the back but it's only like 4 miles. They just built a new hospital. It's only like 4 miles.
Did you go to?
Grand Itasca.
Okay.
You know where that one's at?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're right around the lake or on the corner. Do you know where Tioga Beach is? It's the one where they have the governor's opener.
Yeah, the exactly. Yep. The general area.
We're off Tioga Beach Road.
Okay.
So right down there.
Yeah, and I was just curious as to what part of the state that you were in. But so you went to the hospital there, airlifted somewhere?
Yeah, that was airlifted to Duluth, to St. Mary's in Duluth. And that was another funny thing, too. They kind of came in the room, and I wasn't at Grand Itasca very long, maybe 15 or 20 minutes. They already had a helicopter on its way because they knew what had happened. And they were like, there's no way they were going to do anything with him. They thought I was going to be in way worse shape than I was, too. I mean, treatable shape. They figured I'd have burns or something else. But they couldn't believe when they saw me, I was like a normal. I looked like I normally do, other than my calves were really huge or massive. They took a really bad, and both my forearms and my calves took a lot of. Must have been where the power coming out of you comes out your smallest extremities. They say like on your fingertips and toes, that kind of thing. So that's probably why that it took a lot of. It looked like I've been riding a dirt bike or something all day. I had arm pump like crazy, and So other than those two things, I didn't really look anything out of the ordinary. So they were like, well, we don't even know what to do. And so they had already had a helicopter come, but then they said, and I go, well, where are you going to take me? And cause I was a little bit frustrated. I didn't think there was much wrong with me and I wanted to be with my family. You know, I wanted to know what was going on. And they said, well, we're going to take you to St. Mary's. Well, in my mind, when you live in Owatonna,
Rochester,
St. Mary's is in Rochester. Yeah. So I started yelling right away. I'm like, what is going on? Why are you going to take me to St. Mary's? That's 3 or 4 hours from here. And I go, all my family's up here right now. And you're going to go fly me way down there. And they go, there's got to be something closer than that. And they all kind of looked at me weird. And they all paused. And they said, it's in Duluth.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, of course there could be more than one St. Mary's. Why didn't I think? Yeah. Why wouldn't there be? You know, I didn't think of that at the time. So I knew my brain wasn't working quite right. So So they airlifted me to Duluth. And I was in Duluth for, I think, 3 days. And then I kind of demanded that they let me go home.
Wow.
I wanted to get back here for a funeral and be with my family and my sister and stuff.
Let's continue that after the break here. Husky Bulletin Podcast with Eric Hancock.
With Buffet Your Way, you can order any pizza you want and we'll bake it and make sure you get the first slice. And with all our crusts, sauces, and toppings, we can make you 14,839,552 different pizzas. Just not, you know, all at the same time.
Pizza Ranch, everyone's favorite buffet.
Lucas here at the Owatonna Pizza Ranch. Come on down to the Pizza Ranch buffet any time of day between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day of the week to enjoy Buffet Your Way at Pizza Ranch.
Since the turn of the century, Federated Mutual Insurance Company and many of our employees have called Owatonna home. We work hand in hand with our neighbors through giving, volunteering, and focusing on community initiatives. We invest in this community because we love to see opportunities and advancements, such as the new high school and the downtown developments. We enjoy seeing the citizens of our great community continue to grow and thrive. And above all, we are proud to be part of Owatonna's rich history and all that Owatonna has to offer.
Legacy, leaving a lasting impact. This is exactly what our family-owned company strives for. Over the last 50 years, R&K Electric has served residential, commercial, and industrial customers in Owatonna and beyond while honoring the core values that made us a trusted name in electricity in southern Minnesota. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism are what R&K continues to bring to our customers today. Learn more and reach out for a quote at rkelectricmn.com. R&K Electric, power to the people. When it comes to your financial security, it's important to trust your financial advisor. That's what sets Steve Zappa apart. Operating out of his office in downtown Owatonna for more than 3 decades, Steve is a part of this community and takes a personal approach to managing your investments, understanding the difference between the return of your money, not just on your money. Reach out to the Zappa Agency today by calling 451-9343 and start securing your financial future. Steve Zappa, your personal financial advocate for 32 years. Steve M. Zappa, representing American National Property and Casualty Company, Springfield, Missouri, and affiliates. Terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply.
Ameriprise Advisors can work with you to provide personalized goal-based advice based on your short and long-term goals. Plus, you can track your investments and financial solutions with our digital tools and regular meetings. Call Wayne Nord Wetmore, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, today at 507-444-0901. Office is located at 1850 Austin Road, Suite 104, Owatonna, Minnesota. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
Runs repairs, we care. Locally owned, family run. All makes and models will get the job done. Trustworthy, award winning service. We won't sell you what you don't need, and that's a promise. Runs repair, always fast and fair.
Car Time of Owatonna is your trusted hometown used car dealership. At Car Time, we believe in taking the hassle out of your car buying experience. With over 22 years of serving our local community, we know what it takes to find you the right vehicle at the right price. Our commitment to quality doesn't end with the sale. Our full-service facility ensures that your car remains in top-notch condition, keeping you on the road with peace of mind. At Car Time, we care about your time. Visit cartimeofowatonna.com or call 507-446-9218.
We are back. Husky Bulletin Podcast here with Eric Hancock. And I think where we left off, you had been airlifted to St. Mary's in Duluth.
Yeah.
And 3 days, you're in the hospital. My curious thing, just I think so many things, is you break your back in, what, three different places, and you're able to be discharged in 3 days.
Yeah.
How is that possible? And then obviously you made a lot of trips back for treatment.
I was there every day for days to the clinic at the hospital. Well, actually, what made it possible was Dr. Brian Bunkers. First of all, he was a huge part in it. He called up there personally to Duluth and told the hospital that he would take over if they let me go home, that he would have see me the same day if it was possible. If not, it would be the next morning, his first appointment, and he would have me in if they would let me get back home, and he would take over my treatment from there. And he'd been my family. He wasn't like something special he did for us. He was our family physician as well.
Sure.
So, and he had been since he started in Owatonna. My doctor retired and Dr. Bunkers took over his practice at the time. So he's been my doctor my whole life, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, but he was instrumental in helping me get back home. And I was demanding I get back home because I wanted to be here with my family. They'd all gone back home. Mm-hmm. And basically it was just, I think my wife even had gone back home and everything to just cause they had so much stuff. Everybody, and riding together. So rides and all that kind of thing. And I come from a really big family, you know, here in Owatonna. A lot of people don't realize our cabin is pretty well known, but, and maybe you don't even know, but, all the Simon boys, Matt Simon, those are my first cousins. My mom's sister is their mom. And then, the other ones would be the Kearns, Matt and Matthew and Andrew Kern, all football. Yep. Those are my other, another of my mom's sister's boys. So we have a big family of a lot of us boys and that. So there's a lot of family came up to help and to get us back home and things, because it was pretty devastating for my family with my sisters. It wasn't like when I say boyfriend, I mean, they were a long time together, sure. You know. And so it was like losing a family member, you know, it would have been either way, but it was very, very difficult, dealing with that initially more than I wanted everybody to focus on that. That was the hard part. I don't want to be focusing on me, you know, and I had to wear a back brace and couldn't walk and that kind of thing. I could walk, but it wasn't very good. And so I needed a lot of assistance in wheelchairs and that kind of a thing. And so it was hard for people not to focus on me, but I didn't like it. I was like, I felt like it was all my fault at that time. And so I really was really harboring a lot of that blame. And so I wanted people to know that he's not enjoying this or, mm-hmm. you know, anything like that type or whatever. And, so I just made sure I let everybody know that I'm suffering too. I don't want you talking about my part of it. I'm still here. And deal with what's not, you know, help my sister and help his family and things. And I think people struggled to understand a little bit why I was like that initially. And it was, you know, I was grieving too, you know, and again, I've felt like it was I was being told it was my fault at that time. I was willing to accept the blame. I mean, I'm a man, I was raised a man to be a man. And so I said, well, if it was my fault, then it was my fault. But I can't remember what I did that made it my fault was the problem. And I still don't to this. I remember every, you know, and I'm really good with remembering a lot.
Noticed that about you. You have a really good memory.
Yeah. And I'm pretty good about, you know, with details about a lot of things. Cause I'm just one. If you notice, even in here, I'm always looking around. It's little
weird details. Just the fact that you remember that my brother was way better at me than baseball and some of these other little things. I'm like, he listens. You talk, Eric listens, which is really cool. People take that for granted.
Sometimes I think so too.
Yeah.
Some
people wait to talk. They don't listen.
And you know, a lot of times people too, you have to understand people who like me, if you get me talking, I'll talk all day, you know, with you. But also you have to be the type of person I'm willing to talk to.
You know,
I won't have a conversation with some, like you aren't going to draw me out if you're not going to be able to have an informed conversation with me. You're not going to be able to pull me out. It's
absolutely
just not going to work.
Well, I mean, I think that's just being an adult, and you get to that point in your life where the people that you keep around are the ones that matter.
Right? Yeah.
And when you're young, a lot of times I look back, like, why were these people in my life? Well, maybe they were a drinking buddy. Maybe I thought I needed to be with them. No.
How your friends change over time as you age. And then even then, I think you go through different groups, you know, with your job, I've changed my career, my career so drastically that, a whole group of people that I used to hang out, you know, in the motorcycle community, that's a whole, you got to live that lifestyle, and I don't live that lifestyle anymore. So I shouldn't say I can't, but there's a lot of those friends I just don't hang out with anymore. Yeah. They have just too many different things that they do that I don't do anymore. And so now it's more, I'm in high school stuff. So yeah. I'm with around kids a lot and that kind of a thing. And so, you know, you change what you do, you change who you hang out with, and
people evolve, and it takes, and I've always said this, and I've said it on this podcast before, it doesn't matter. There are some kids who are 15 years old, and they can truly, honestly say, I do not care what people think about me. I like who I am.
Yeah.
There are some people that take until they're in their 20s. There's some people that take, maybe for me, until my mid-30s, where I really stopped caring what people think. And that's not in a bad way. That is, I am so comfortable with myself. You could say something to me, anything to me, it's never going to offend, because I'm okay with who I am.
I'm weird. I'm that way outwardly, sure. But I do take I soak everything up, and I'll wonder why, but I'm pretty good at analyzing it too. Like I take all that data in and I'll take it back and analyze it. Like, does he like me or not like me? Is that what's going on? And if so, why? Mm-hmm. You know, and figure it out. But at the same time, I don't take too much to heart. Like you should. Telling you just a little bit ago that some guy told me to quiet down at a wrestling event and when I was on the microphone. And afterward, I looked around at the other guys who were like looking at me kind of funny. You know, they're like, why would that guy say that to you? And I go, do you suppose he took a poll of everybody in the gym?
Right.
And he was the designated one to come tell me that. You know, I was laughing. I was like, what, am I going to listen to the one guy who's, I'm like, there's over 1,000 people in this gym right now. And one guy told me to quiet down. You know,
exactly, Eric. So
I don't care what that one guy says, you know.
We could do a whole two podcasts on this, and we might have to break this into two. I like where this is going. You have to get to a point, I used to very much be like, as you're coming new into Owatonna community, I cared so much about what people read and do they like what I write, or did I say something weird during a meeting, or did. You have to get to a point where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people know what my job is. It doesn't matter if they know who I am. It doesn't matter if they care what I write about. I know deep down that what I'm doing is okay, and that I'm okay with that. I still, there's always who you are, and there's always going to be a part of me that hyper-analyzes everything, but it's gotten so much better, and I don't know why.
It's just your stage grows, to be honest.
Exactly.
Mine has recently got, my stage, as you say, has gotten so much bigger that I've got different audience now, and I've got different people analyzing that, you know, and what I'm doing, that I get different feedback now. And so I've learned, you know, I used to worry about, because I wanted that bigger audience, and in order to gain it, I thought I was only going to get it one way. You have to say a certain thing, but I learned you don't. It's just how you say things and what you say. Every stage you're on has a different audience.
Yep.
And so you have to know that audience going into it. It's like when you see those singers say the wrong town that they're in because they just do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what those guys are doing. But with what I do and with what people do, you know, I'm not doing this. I am doing the same thing. You know, I'm pushing the same buttons. I'm doing the same scoreboard machine. But every game is different.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm going to give you a good example. Something you said earlier in, I don't remember if it was this podcast or if it was something else we recorded, because we record a lot of things.
Yeah.
You talked about how, why even play some of that music sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, for example, the songs have been requested or the students put them in. Like, and we used to have more spots where we don't do it very often anymore. They get about 2 out of every 8 to 10 songs. Now they get to pick.
Yeah.
But they used to get to pick basically the whole pre-games of most of their games. Well, I didn't always listen to the full song of every song.
Yeah, because, but I was never complaining about you. It was these places. And
yeah,
I remember looking at it.
But I was one of the, I have had to be the guy playing it because it's there. But here's what happens is it makes it the worst. One of them songs screws up and plays a swear word or something, and like, which is what I'm not supposed to have. Boy, I feel horrible because it was me playing it. It wasn't my song, but it was me playing. I played it.
Totally.
Whatever comes out of those speakers, it doesn't matter. I'm responsible for it.
It is. And you take pride in that. I know that. And it's that's why you're going to be around for a while. And you came, and I always say came out of nowhere, but you didn't. You had a story. That's just the way I say it. Mark Ochterkirk and Mark Weiss, the Marks.
Yeah, the Marks,
We can't.
They're both spelled a C, too.
Yeah, exactly. There's no K there.
No.
you can't tell your story without having them involved. And I know there's so many people. If we had 3 hours, we could talk about everybody. Yeah. And I wish we could. But the Marks, I know, have played a huge role in getting you to where you are.
Both kicking it into gear in two different ways. Mark Weiss, when he found out, so after the accident, just real quick to preface that a little bit. I never, a lot of people wonder this, and I guess this is the second time publicly saying it, because I have a YouTube story of this. It's a two-part story of me telling the story of my accident. You can watch that too. But I didn't receive a dime from anything anywhere, and I still don't. I didn't receive any insurance money. I didn't receive any kind of settlement from anything. In fact, I lost the settlement I was sued for a wrongful death and lost that. So I technically, that was a $100,000 suit. It, you know, that gets all pled down, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But I lost that, you know, and insurance took care of that. But I spent money on lawyers to defend myself. Yes. And so, yeah, I got nothing, and I still don't. And I was on, the weirdest part was, because I'm the only known survivor of that kind of electricity. And the reason that I can say that, and that people say that, is over at Mayo afterward, somebody had to treat me. They had to research me. They had to study that. What's wrong with this guy? Why is he like he is? No one else they don't have anybody else that they've been able to. So they, all the notes are on me.
Yeah.
So when the Social Security office saw that, even though I didn't work for almost 10 years, Social Security office saw that and said, well, everybody else who's been electrocuted either dies or they survive. And then if they survive, they're either lost an arm or, you know, something's burned off and then they're fine. So he should be fine too. He didn't lose any limbs or anything. Couldn't have been that bad. And so that fight went on for as long as you can fight it. And then I lost all my appeals and it was over. And so I paid in my whole life, and I was not a non-work. I was I worked two to three, sometimes three jobs. And I'm not talking little jobs. I worked at a Harley Davidson dealership, and I worked at a machine shop at night to make some extra cash when I was younger for my family, you know, that kind of a thing. And I was doing all that up until my accident. And then it sidelined me. I mean, more or less the rest of my life. My life's changed into a less physical role in any way.
Yeah.
Anymore, because I can't.
Radio's perfect. Look yeah. While you look at us, we are like the carved from granite here. Yeah. Me and JP.
Chiseled.
Yeah. Chiseled from granite.
Runs, repairs, we care. Locally owned, family run. All makes and models will get the job done. Trustworthy, award-winning service. We won't sell you what you don't need, and that's a promise. Runs Repair, always fast and fair. Runs Repair, we care.
Hello, this is Thomas Bottoma, loan officer at Premier Bank Minnesota. Are you a first-time home buyer looking to build or refinance? Premier Bank has you covered. Premier Bank can provide the right loan for your family's unique needs. Take advantage of easy online calculators and online application, plus a full-service loan department just for you. Contact Thomas Bottoma today to get started. Visit Premier Bank at premierbank.com. Minnesota-owned, Minnesota-operated, equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 403214.
Car Time of Owatonna is your trusted hometown used car dealership. At Car Time, we believe in taking the hassle out of your car buying experience. With over 22 years of serving our local community, we know what it takes to find you the right vehicle at the right price. Our commitment to quality doesn't end with the sale. Our full-service facility ensures that your car remains in top-notch condition, keeping you on the road with peace of mind. At Car Time, we care about your time. Visit cartimeofowatonna.com or call 507-446-9218.
When it comes to your financial security, it's important to trust your financial advisor. That's what sets Steve Zappa apart. Operating out of his office in downtown Owatonna for more than three decades, Steve is a part of this community and takes a personal approach to managing your investments, understanding the difference between the return of your money, not just on your money. Reach out to the Zappa Agency today by calling 451-9343 and start securing your financial future. Steve Zappa, your personal financial advocate for 32 years. Steve M. Zappa, representing American National Property and Casualty Company, Springfield, Missouri, and affiliates. Terms, conditions, and eligibility requirements apply. The following audio is part of the extended version of the Husky Bulletin podcast featuring Eric Hancock. Now, enjoy the final chapter of his remarkable story in this exclusive streaming version of the Husky Bulletin podcast.
So no, but then the marks came in. What was as prior to the accident, being a motorcycle mechanic and motorcycle technician, custom builder, whatever you want to say, all my custom work that I was doing, people could cross it over into different. I could do it on cars, I could do it on boathouses, I could do it on boats, like whatever you wanted. I can do custom work on it, you know? And so the only thing I knew really was that and DJing and radio, because that's what I did as well. I've been a DJ my whole life.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said 20 plus years of
entertainment. I've been DJing my whole life. So that part was kind of, I could still do that, but I wasn't as much because my personality wasn't around like it is now. Mm-hmm. I lost my personality for about 10 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I'm going to revert to what I know and I'm just going to work on what I can. So it was tough for me, but I was able to make a little bit of cash by doing, you know, some stuff like working on some guys' boats and ice houses and just doing some just simple stuff, just some winterizing, you know, pouring some chemicals in, you know, running the oil through, that kind of stuff. So Weiss was one of those guys. Mark Weiss had heard about needed some money. He's like, well, I got a boat and I got a boathouse. And he's like, I need all this. I got snowmobiles. I need all this stuff worked on. He's like, you can work on all of it. I know you. You know, he's known me forever. Mm-hmm. And we weren't like close friends, but we've known each other. I would consider him an acquaintance, good, you know, good guy type thing. I didn't have nothing against him.
Absolutely.
And so it started out, I was just doing a few things for him, and he would get laid off a little bit in the winter. And that's when it really came into more focus, was he would sit around with me while I was working on stuff, and he'd just question all this, you know, hey, what are you doing? You know, and he had all these questions for me. And some days I would just be having tough days. You know, I mean, this was only still maybe 4 years out of my accident, something like that, 3-4 years. And so I was still struggling, you know, both mentally and physically. And so he started seeing that. He started asking more questions, and then he started realizing the situation I was in. And so he was just like, it's not fair. And he's just trying to, he's always been there to help me. Well, then all of a sudden he heard of this opening at the high school because he'd been obviously a long time football coach at the high school. I mean, we're talking now he's around, Well, he's only behind Jeff by.
Oh, in terms of tenure,
tenure.
It's,
I think,
a couple years,
only a year or two behind Jeff. Yeah, so he's been there a long time. And at the time, you know, he knew that we were going to need a new equipment manager, and so he's like, you know what? He told them before they even like advertised. He's like, we got to let Eric do this. He needs to get out of the house. We need to get him active. He needs to get some more income. I'm going to make more or less. This is how Weiss does it with me.
Oh, of course.
I'm going to make it. You know how Weiss is.
Yeah.
If your name comes up and he thinks of you, you're doing whatever it is he wants you to do.
Weiss has a way of influencing people.
You know what's the best part?
Yeah.
We've grown to be such good friends. We spend so much time. He doesn't understand that at all. He doesn't think he does. And it's so funny. We go somewhere and we get all this stuff from all these people. And then afterwards, he's like, why'd that guy give me all that? I'm like, why do you think?
Mark, it's because you have this. Like, I don't know what it is. He has a way
of
influencing people. And it's like he has the force.
You just don't want to tell him no. And I don't know what it is.
You can't tell him no.
Yeah, I don't know why. He's not intimidating at all. Yeah. So it's like, you don't want to tell him no, though. You just feel like whatever he told you is like,
He's the one. And this is such a different,
motivator.
Different scale. And I don't want to pretend like it's apples to apples. For years, I never wanted to do the Ken Buy except for donating paintings or not paintings, but pictures of, you know, that they could do for the auction.
Yeah.
I would be there every year. I'd hang out, take some pictures, sometimes for the paper, sometimes just to be there, whatever.
Yeah.
But never golfed. And then he was the one who kept, John, do you get it? I'm like, I'm not even that good. I had a lot of friends that golf. I'm like, I'm still not good enough. Da, da, da. He's like, doesn't matter. I'm like, okay. He's the one who finally asked me enough. And this will be my third year this summer. And I owe that to Mark Weiss because he never stopped. And boy, by golly, I got $900 richer after last year because we won our flight, the lowest possible flight. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
But I get to hold on to that until July 13th, unless I need to defend it. I don't know.
Unfortunately, I can't golf.
I know. God, it would be perfect.
I can actually take like one. It's funny. Maybe I'll show off the old swing. I'm able to swing the club like once, maybe twice, something like that. And when I do, the weirdest thing happens. I have almost perfect dead straight contact now because I don't know what it is. You know, when you get injuries, weird things.
Yes.
So we were, just a few years ago, we were at a campground for a weekend with the family, and they had a driving range.
Yeah.
So we're on a morning walk, and my son was just a little baby at the time. And so we're walking around with a stroller because he's, you know, wants to do something. So, we go by this driving range, and I'm like, oh, check the tell. These younger kids were using this, like, I think it was a Big Bertha. I'm not a golf guy, but I think that's one I remember, and I think that was the club, and I always wanted to swing one. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. So I'm, like, watching these kids, and you could just hear it made a different sound when they would hit it, and I'm like, that's got to be one of the clubs everybody talks about. So I finally, I'm like, hey, will you guys let me try to take a swing or two, you know?
Like,
and I'm like, and they're like, yeah, for sure, because they were having trouble swinging. It was a pretty big club.
Yeah.
I took the first swing, and I hit it all the way to the past the whatever. It wasn't a huge, like it maybe only had to like 200 yards or something. But
200 yards is pretty good.
But this thing screamed yeah. past it. I mean, I was like even in shock myself. I'm like, oh my God, these kids thought I could golf. And I'm like, listen, I golfed a few times before I had an accident, but I said, I don't know what happened there. Yeah. A fluke. Yeah. So I said, let's take another ball. So I got another ball. Crack. Same thing, just sizzled just straight in front
maybe
of me.
Maybe you just need to tee off for us.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh. but I, after a couple swings, you know, then I start to feel yes. it immediately. Yeah, like, everything like, tenses up. But yeah. but when I get those couple swings off, it screams. I'm like, dang, that was cool.
It's like superpowers.
Yeah, there's no way I could like totally. But that's why I was like, maybe I could be a marshal.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, you would think that with Weiss as close as we are, people wonder this. And this year, I think I'm finally going to do something. But I've never even been to the Ken Bay.
Yeah,
because I don't golf, you know, and I'm
same
not,
thing with me. I didn't golf that much until about 4 or 5 years ago, and then I started getting into it and had a little more confidence. That's a whole thing.
It's a huge tournament.
It's a huge tournament.
Yeah, don't downplay anything we're saying. No. If you're listening in right now, Weiss has put together.
It's and awesome.
I don't even know if he's going to be able to. He's got so you wouldn't believe he spends all year working on that thing.
He's already gotten the brochure. I've already received it in the mail.
He's so far ahead of everybody on stuff. He knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's sold out already. I mean,
you know, part of that break part of that down is some of that is training and anybody on the football staff, and I know you'll say this, that anybody, especially any time in this on the team, you'll notice we all work with a different type of efficiency because we learn it from the top to the bottom. We've talked about this in other programs where when Jeff, you see it on every Friday when Jeff gives out that sheet to everyone, including media, everything is down to the minute when we're going to do stuff, and you just learn to be like that in general. And so Mark Ochterkirk also played kind of a role.
There you go. I was just going to say, perfect way to wrap this all together.
Yeah. Once I was in the football program, they started seeing some of my struggles because I was around a lot. When you're the equipment manager, you're there a lot. Yeah. I'm there almost daily during the football season, if not daily, including on the week. I mean, sometimes 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And so I get to, you know, you get in tight with Jeff and with the rest of the head staff in a way that you don't normally see them around town and stuff because I see them every day. And so they started seeing some of my struggles, some of the problems, and it really pushing me. And then Ochterkirk found out that I do this, you know, with my do the voice stuff and that I DJ. And I think there was like one time they needed a sub for somebody. I don't even remember. It was long enough ago that I don't remember what they asked me to do, but they stuck me in a microphone. I think it was like a test. Let's try him out. Let's see what he can do. Hey, could you sub for us for, I don't know, for softball or something one night? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I was super excited to do it because that was my thing, you know. They put me in front of the mic once, and they were like, yeah, we've got to do this. And so after that, they looked for a position for me and until we finally got one. And then really the first thing was baseball. Whoever was.
Yeah, that's when I first encountered you.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which was great.
Yep. That was I was actually a little intimidated by you, too, because you were a local. Everybody knew you. Yeah. But I was well less known by everybody kind of knew who I was from around town because I'm from here. And everybody kind of knew who I was, that kind of thing, but not like when I first met you. I'd be like, oh, that's John. You know, I knew you as that's John from the paper.
Old BP John.
Yeah, still, yeah. And at that time,
that
was even before like social media was even in like 2018 was still kind of taking up. You were big because you were newspapers were still like it was like you were. I don't know if you want to say like if newspapers had followers, you had a ton of followers. And that, you know,
it was believe
that
me,
was
that
was a big deal.
It was. But it was, I just remember saying, this guy's cool, man. Where the hell has he been?
Yeah.
Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows.
It was, I had a blast. I was too much for baseball. That's why I don't.
Now they got that to Kyle Melcher. Bing.
Yeah. Melcher's awesome.
He's great.
Yeah. He's perfect for it. Another football staffer.
Yeah.
And his dad, you know, take care of those duties.
They do.
And they do a great job. And I'm glad it worked out the way it did because I prefer, like I said, I knew I was a little much for baseball announcing because baseball announcing is not quite as active.
It's a different cadence.
Yeah. And I'm more, it's like I told him initially, I said, I don't think I could do golf. I can't, I can't announce like golf or gymnastics and stuff. I said, I don't think because I'm too much for that.
Yeah.
But you get sports that need that a lot. I'm that guy. And so lacrosse was the first one that I was girls announcer for like one or two seasons. I did just girls, but I subbed a lot of boys in those two seasons. And then the following, whenever that was, then I took over doing both. So now I do both boys and girls lacrosse. Those are my main ones I do. And then anytime the video boards are going, of course, I've got the video boards too now.
It's like you're working. I know how that feeling goes, doing five things at once at a game.
Yeah. Oh,
sometimes
man.
People will ask me, I'll be at a game and be like, do you remember that? Be like, yeah, well, let me go check my notes.
I don't, right, yeah.
There's so many things that happen at once. Yeah.
Yeah, I make notes. Do you do this by the game too, by time?
Yeah.
That's how I make mine. I jot things down and I write the time on so that when I play back things, I can go, it had to have been at about.
Well, no, okay. I do the time with every single play. So I have every single play charted from Owatonna football from 2012 till this past year. Every play. There's not a play I don't have something written down because I don't want to be. I'll go back and write the games, which I still do, huskybulletin.com. We will beat the newspaper to the articles. Don't forget, people, for 3 months, the huskybulletin.com is Owatonna football. You open up a program at an Owatonna football game, right in the middle, those game notes are done by the Husky Bulletin.
Here's something for Jeff. Jeff knows every one of those plays without having to go back.
He wouldn't have to do notes. It's amazing.
He knows everyone, and he can probably repeat all those plays all the way back to that.
It's amazing.
The guy is
an encyclopedia. He's a savant.
He's incredible. Yeah.
It is insane.
He loves that stuff, though. He's a stat guy. He's into that. Yeah.
Big time stat.
That's why his staff behind him is so perfect. They're all just like him. They're all orientated like he is. You know, Octokirk is the same way. That's why he runs such a good ship around there. You know, I mean, that activities department, I mean, no offense to anybody who was in that position before, I guess, but Octokirk, I've been here a long time, and I've never seen it run so smoothly and efficiently as Octokirk runs it right now. You know?
And I will tell you this, and I say this a lot. The program, we'll start with football and the athletics in general. But let's just stick with football because that's what you and I trust. Trust. Guess what? He trusts Mark Octokirk to do his thing on defense.
Yeah.
That Jeff isn't even around a lot of times to do that. Guess what? He trusts you with the songs to play. He doesn't micromanage that. He trusts me to come to practice, wander around, doesn't even think because I'm just part of it. He trusts me on the field. There's a
you
trust
earn that
you do. You don't just come and just
meander. No, you don't just show up on the field.
No. Oh, heck no.
Not in Owatonna.
Believe me, it took 4 years before I felt actually comfortable being there. Roy, all these people, you have to earn it. Yep. You've earned it. You've earned it, Eric.
And I give it a shot.
Yeah. Eric Hancock on the Husky Bulletin podcast. Eric, this has been awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
This has been super fun. There's so many layers to this story and your comeback that we haven't even able to touch. Let's, real quick, though, Rock on MNDJ kind of encapsulates what you do and how they get a hold of it.
I do everything from big corporate events to small weddings to little kids' birthday parties. You name it. If you need music, you need speakers, you need a microphone, I've got all of it. If you need me, you can rent me to put on the event. If you don't want me there, you can rent just speakers and a microphone. Play your own music.